Prunes. One of those food items we don't talk about much. They are an embarrassing fruit. We don't mind admitting that we eat apples, bananas, oranges, even dried apricots are okay, but who admits in public that they eat prunes? Well, I do. I'm one of the weirdos of the world who actually enjoys eating prunes. This despite the fact that my mother made me eat them when I was young. Oh, the things you learn about the preachers. I even choose, okay, to dip out a few stewed prunes from the breakfast bar buffet when I'm traveling and eating at a hotel. I'm not ashamed. Maybe a little, but prunes have gotten a really bad rap over the years. Prunes are associated with ugliness and crabby dispositions. Prunes are shriveled and wrinkly. They're not pretty like bright green kiwis or cheerful chunks of pineapple or even the purple plums that precede the prunes. You won't find prunes in a decorative display of fruit kebabs cut up to resemble a springtime bouquet. But prunes have their place. They have a much longer shelf life than any fresh fruit. They're rich in fiber, potassium, and antioxidants, and they're really very good for you. Besides, life is not always a bowl of cherries. No, sometimes it's a box of prunes. Which brings us to the scripture reading this morning. Okay, you're wondering how I'm going to make the leap from prunes to the Last Supper? Yeah, I'm kind of wondering myself right about now. In the scripture passage, Jesus is preparing the disciples for life without him. They are frightened at the prospect of his leaving and puzzled about how they can possibly continue without him. Jesus doesn't dismiss their fears and concerns, but responds to them with words of compassion and hope. "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments," Jesus said. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth. I will not leave you orphaned." Jesus promises that he's not going to just disappear and leave the disciples empty-handed. God is going to send them another advocate, one who will encourage, comfort, console, who will speak on their behalf, the one who will be the connecting link between Jesus and those who pledge to follow him. But the disciples wonder, how are we going to recognize this advocate of whom Jesus speaks? And Jesus says, "You will know the Spirit, because the Spirit abides with you, and the Spirit will be in you." But that's not all. The Spirit, Jesus says, will be recognized through the actions of the community of faith. In his words, "They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me." And just to clarify further, a few verses later, Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. I appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." The Spirit, we often get caught up into our personal revelation of the Spirit and what that means and how it feels to us, but the Spirit is not something we can corral within the confines of our own heart. The Spirit comes alive when we live out the love of Christ in company with other people. The Greek word used here for advocate is translated paraclete. And a paraclete is the one who encourages, comforts, consoles, and speaks on our behalf. The word paraclete used here in John isn't just another name for the Spirit. It is a way of describing all the functions of the Spirit. The Spirit is the one who exhorts, who encourages, the one who comforts, the one who consoles, the one who speaks on others' behalf. And so what Jesus says to the disciples is that other people will recognize me when they see a community of faith living out their beliefs by doing these things, encouraging, comforting, consoling, and speaking out for people who have no voice of their own. It's not all about the glory work, being up here in the pulpit in our fancy robes and the beautiful sanctuary, which is a large part of what we do as a community of faith, is provide a wonderful place to come and worship. But much of the time, living out the commandments of Jesus means the dirty work, behind the scenes kind of stuff that needs to be done so that we can encourage, comfort, console, and speak up on behalf of others. Now, perhaps you've never thought of mopping floors or cleaning toilets as the work of the Holy Spirit, but it is, as much as Bible study and worship. The Holy Spirit works in this section of the church over here every Tuesday night from October through April through the people who volunteer to make this a facility for pads for the homeless. Setting up beds, fixing food, washing dishes, plunging toilets, doing the laundry. This is the Holy Spirit at work, the comforter, providing a safe, clean home for the homeless through this community of faith. Twice a week, the Holy Spirit works through a program we call Extra Care for families living with Alzheimer's. For a couple hours on Tuesdays and Fridays, caregivers get a much-needed break while their loved ones come here to eat lunch, to have crafts and music, to go for walks, to be loved. Some of our guests at Extra Care need a little extra help with the daily tasks, such as finding their way to the bathroom or putting on their shoes. Here, they are treated in every way with dignity, respect, and kindness. This is the Holy Spirit at work, the encourager, offering a helping hand to the weary through this community of faith. Housed in a large room adjacent to the church office is a food pantry that provides groceries for many hungry people here in Lake County. All the food items you bring in have to be sorted, labeled, organized, stacked, and bagged for pickup. It's not a glamorous job, but it has to be done so that we can get the food you bring into the hands of the people with the empty cupboards. This is the Holy Spirit at work, the advocate, speaking up for people whose lives have taken an unlucky turn, who struggle to put food on their tables. It is the ways in which we love one another and make that love an active part of our church community that shows the world that the Spirit of Christ is alive and well and real. It's like those prunes, you know. A lot of the work we do isn't all that glamorous. It's not usually something we talk about in public. I don't think very many people brag to their coworkers and neighbors, "I got to fix a toilet at 2 a.m. during my shift at pads last night," or, "Boy, did I have a great time labeling 300 cans of tuna and beans." This is the work that gets done so that we can let the Holy Spirit live here. God calls us to live our faith in community, to go and bear fruit. Not just the fancy fruit that gets all the glory. And there's nothing wrong with shiny apples and juicy oranges and perfect plums, but it's the prunes of the Spirit that the world often needs the most. Back when I was in high school, first going to church, one of the most popular contemporary hymns at that time was We Are One in the Spirit. It was sort of the Here I Am, Lord, of the 70s. I first heard and sang that hymn around a campfire at night, gathered with a group of other high school students and advisors on a backpacking trip in the mountains of California. And I always think of that when I hear that song. What I've sang it many, many times over the years. The words are just ingrained in my heart and soul. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord, and we pray that all unity may one day be restored, and they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand, and together we'll spread the news that God is in our land, and they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will work with each other. We will work side by side and will guard each one's dignity and save each one's pride. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. That's what living in the Spirit is about, being one in the Spirit, walking hand in hand and working side by side, showing Christ's love, handing out prunes. And if your own spiritual diet seems to be lacking in fiber, have a prune. Help with a food drive. Pound a few nails for Habitat. Walk for Winchester House. Scrub a floor for the homeless. Support our youth in their ministry. Encourage, comfort, and console someone else. Have a prune. You might not feel so hungry afterwards. Jesus said, "You will know the Spirit because the Spirit abides with you and the Spirit will be in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And this is my commandment, that you love one another." Pass the prunes, please.